Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Welcome, Red News Podcast 256, I'm hopefully, that's correct.
At home
to Leicester on a Friday, the 7th of February, 2025, approximately 6:31 PM. I'm sat here with myself. Sorry, not sat. That'd be a luxury, wouldn't it, Sella? Stood here with Nathan Sella, who's obviously come back from his lovely travels in sunny Egypt. And myself, Nick, as well. First of all, how you acclimatising to the weather after a sunny trip?
It's a bit cold, but it's okay. We've literally only been stood here for about 2 minutes, so ask me again in an hour and a half.
You don't have to tell Barney that. You could have been here for an hour.
I've been stood here for an hour selling, but give me another hour and a half, yes.
Right, okay. So it's been chilly then, basically, is your response so far. Yes. Right, okay. And how's your United mojo been? Because obviously you've been away for how many games? You've been away for two games. You've been away for two, haven't you?
No, I saw three whilst I was away.
It's been three games, right, okay. So it's been
but
three
I only
games.
Missed one home game.
So you've missed one dossing around selling when I also missed as well, so we'll move on from that. But so you've missed three games then so far then. What's it been like being removed from our group, shall we say, and United and things?
Well, it sounds like you've not been listening to the podcast because I've been giving my updates.
Well, I know
time.
You've been on the podcast, but it's nice to be together with you.
No, I know.
You know, you were you actually said on the podcast that it's really hard when you're not bouncing off somebody.
That is true.
Well, now
that
you've
true.
Got that, so.
Right.
No, shut up your backside. I sound like a person after a game trying to get the fans. Drop Rashford, drop him.
We're with our mate Craig as well, and when he first arrived before when we were in the Pev, he was like, so what are your thoughts about today? And I was like, that was literally the first time that I've even thought about the game today. Do you know what I mean? So maybe that sums it up. I think I'm, like I said the other night, I think I'm still all for Amrim. I think it's going to take a while, and I'm all in. I don't care. I think, obviously, I care.
You're Amar
and
in, obviously, not Amar out.
Yes. And I think, obviously, I'd love us to be winning, but I just think the situation that the club is in as a whole. Yeah, I've not got any doubts, but I'm willing to just keep going with the ride.
Why wouldn't you do that under Eric? Because we had different opinions.
Yeah, no,
so
I know.
I
can't.
For me, I was thinking, well, you know, that's the way I felt about Eric, thinking, well, why would you not go along with the ride? What's different this time around?
Because I think a few months into it with Eric, I was also feeling this. But I wasn't 2 years down the line. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone has to be all in to start with. But if in 2 years, like I said the other day, once he started signing his own people and it isn't working, that's when you start questioning it.
Do you think anybody in the world of football right now could sort Man United out in 2 years?
No.
So why two years? I feel like you're on trial here, and I don't mean it to
be
like that. But you brought it up, though, because I was saying at the time, we all said with Eric, at the time it was a three-year job.
Yeah.
And the man won two trophies. He was a proven winner in the terms of what he had. He had two full seasons and won two full trophies. So, for me, I mean, we'll keep moving back to this, but my genuine point is, though, is that my the change
in
form?
I just think, and I've said it this week, is like when people have said, should he just change his way of thinking? Like Amrim, and it's like, well, no, because that's what Ten Hag did. Ten Hag came in, said that he wanted to do it in a certain way, and then within a couple of months he was like, well, I can't play the way that I played at Ajax. So he gave up. He literally gave up how he wanted to be. And I want that person, I want the person to, whether it works or not, someone should be determined enough to do the way they want to do it, because if not, then what's the point? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think that's a very fair point. And he did give up, didn't he, and said, I can't play the Ajax,
yeah,
because I'm not
exactly
players, but,
so right. Then that's just weak. And like, and I know that he won two trophies, and like, you know, we love that, but I'll just base it purely on last season, and I stand by everything I said last season, is we were too right, calm down. We were we were 2 millimetres away from not winning the FA Cup and being knocked out in the semi-final. So just because we won it shouldn't take away from the fact that the rest of the season was shit. Do you know what I mean? And like,
but it's shit in hell though. We've got a new manager and we're going backwards and he's losing more than the last manager.
But we're still... But if we go on and win, we could still win 2 trophies this season. So how would you say at the end of the season? That it's exactly the same.
I'd do a dance, but I don't think we're going to win 2 trophies at the end of the season.
Yeah, but I didn't think we were going to win the FA Cup at the end of last season.
Oh, I did. I was bouncing. Skipping down Wembley Way.
And I think it was just purely because of everything else. And but like I said just before, it's very windy. It's everyone was all in on Ten Hag in the first few months. You've got to be all in on someone in the first few months. And if he makes these signings, we've made one signing in this window. If he makes more signings in the summer and then in following windows and it still isn't working, that's when you question it. But you can't question it now because we're using a team that is shit.
He's not signed. I think the thing is, as Barney's always been like, tried to use me as a controversial point of view to be like, oh, you want Amorim out, you don't like him. And that's not what I've ever said. I just think it just feels exactly the same as what it did under Eric so far. Because people always said, oh, well, you know, everything was a bit wet and, you know, Amorim's come and he said this in the media and that. And his treatment of Rashford is no different than how Eric treated Ronaldo, as I said on the Bucharest podcast.
Yeah.
And it's very, very similar. And I just feel like we're set up for the same cycle, but we're starting to lose more and more games.
Maybe it will be.
And that's how I see it's going. And I think no one's succeeding at this football club at the moment. I just don't see how Ruben's going to succeed here either. And I know this is very, very negative, but let's be realistic about it. The club is going backwards.
The chances are he won't succeed, because for us, being successful is winning the league and winning the Champions League. The 99% chance that won't happen. Realistically, that's not going to happen. But I want to hope that it will.
On a more note of tonight, obviously we've been speaking, and the cover of the mag is obviously about exploiting loyalty of £66 and things like that. I mean, this has got to have been the easiest ticket. I know we're at home, we're not talking like in away terms, but the easiest ticket I can think of for a very, very long time tonight, where people have genuinely struggled to give them away for free. I mean, our mate Craig comes, as we've mentioned before. I mean, he's a Blackburn fan. He's coming because, you know, he wants to come out with us, you know, for a few beers and stuff. But it's different. And it generally tonight,
person whose ticket it was couldn't give it away to a natural United.
Literally couldn't give it away. Not give it away. And that's generally where this is at the moment. And yeah, okay, you can say that's an indictment to how the football is on the pitch. And maybe if we were first in the league, that might be a little bit different. Yeah, you can say that it might be down to Friday night football and things, and people can't make it with trains and all the rest of it. And yes, you could say it's down to how much the ticket prices are, which, by the way, had dropped down to £48 for this game.
I said before, didn't I? I think it was Barney who mentioned in the group earlier, and I think he said to mention it, is the problem with the club, which they've fucked themselves, is the headline is that tickets are £66. So someone in the last few days, even if they'd have considered going to the game, all they think is that the ticket's £66. So they're not even looking. They're not even going to consider it. Even though the tickets are cheaper.
On a side note, on a tangent, I've been distracted by the half and half swag seller here that's got a Leicester City half and half Man United scarf with a picture of Ruud van Nistelrooy's face on it next to the Leicester crest, which is... That's the biggest money maker ever. I don't think I've ever seen a half and half manager scarf, which is definitely a new one. That is quite a new one, isn't it? Would you like to hear my interesting fact as well? I don't think it's that interesting.
Would you buy a half and half if Manchester United played the Shakhtar?
Yes, because it's and I'd buy anything, only going to sell shards. The man's a hero. But a quick fun fact, we've played Leicester twice already this season. So this is the third time. So obviously they've now been here 3 times, obviously, this season.
In the last few months.
Which you can understand why they've sold less than 2,000 tickets for this game. You know, a variety of different reasons. And I know the ticket prices were obviously extortionate and all the rest of it for Leicester fans. And we genuinely feel for them. But the thing is as well is, the both times that we played them this season, Ruud van Nistelrooy was our manager. And now he's in the opposite dugout. Which I just thought was quite a nice little fun fact. No, yeah. I've not seen
Has a manager ever managed here Take that back.
I'll move that. Yeah. We'll let it
up. I was trying to think of something clever, and then I was like, no, that don't make sense.
But it seems like a very quick turn, doesn't it? Oh, no. There's probably a team, I don't know, three times at home in a season.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's ever happened.
And for two times of the first three games is that he was the manager and now he's in the opposite. It does feel a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I'd take back the fact that he's a former player aside. It does seem weird. Other one, here's another thought. I want to get your opinion on this one. People are talking about now how there's only four forward players left in the squad. In my opinion, and I'd like to hear your opinion, is I think there's still five or six players that are forwards left in the squad, because nobody's mentioned, everyone's been talking about Højlund, Xerxes, Garnacho and Diallo and Ahmad in that role as the four forward players. But I think that now in this new system, and I know it didn't work on Sunday, but I think Cobby's going to be in that future role moving forward. And also, did you know that Mason Mount still plays for us as well? Also, I think he's going to probably be in that false nine, quote-unquote, nonsense that people talk about. So I still think we've got six forward players in the squad if Mount can get fit that we have here at the moment. Discuss.
Yeah, I think it worked for Manu the other week, did it? It didn't work the other day.
Well, it did for the first 25 minutes, didn't it?
Let's, no, and let's, I said that. Let's I said honest, that.
It worked very well, didn't it? They figured out what they were doing.
But, yeah, like, it just... You forget that Mason Mount's even around, which is... It's sad, because I do think he's a good player, but it's just... He's another one that we spent a lot of money on that could have gone to more pressing issues at the time.
Yes, as we agree. We all thought it was a replacement for Bruno. We're not going to circle over old ground. And finally, I'd like to give a hate of the week. I'd like to get it in there early before we do one afterwards, obviously. Is, and you'll definitely agree with this one, but I hate people that wear band t-shirts and then when you ask them about the band, they don't know any songs by that said band. Now, you've all got to be with me on this one. There can't be anybody out there that advocates this. And the prime example, I've got two examples that I want to give you, is obviously we've gone about the NFL enough, but there was an NFL player that I quite liked this week, was wearing a Nirvana t-shirt, who I very much enjoy, that had Nirvana and it said Sliver on it, which is a song title of Nirvana.
Yeah.
And they asked him, said, oh, brilliant, you're wearing a Nirvana t-shirt because he's playing in the Super Bowl. And they asked him, I said, what's your favourite Nirvana song? And he was like, I don't really know, I just like the t-shirt. You're wearing the name of a song on the said t-shirt. But the other one that really pissed me off this week is there's a girl that's been going around buying Metallica t-shirts. Now, I don't not listen to a lot of Metallica, so I'm not going to sit there and say I don't like them. I do like them. But one of the things is for me is... Oh, hello.
£4, please, mate.
How much?
£4, please, mate.
You're on the pod, mate. What's your score prediction for today?
Me.
3-0.
3-0.
United or is that Leicester?
Oh, no.
You have to clarify these
United,
things.
United, yeah. So,
how's your United mojo at the moment? Are you confident?
Yeah, I just like this guy. I just think we've just got to give him time, you know. And I haven't felt like that for years, really. But I just feel he's the man. He's going to do it for us.
How do you feel about him now? Because we were just making a comparison saying that Rashford's treatment, you know, what Ruben's done to him is very similar to how Eric treated Ronaldo and things. So what's Ruben done so far that's impressed you? Where you think this is the guy to lead United forwards?
That he's sticking with, you know, he's not panicking and reverting back. He's sticking with, you know. Yeah. I just feel, I don't know how to put it, but I feel he's coming, he's going to do it, and he's sticking with it, and he's not backing
work,
that. If it doesn't work at the end of the season, well, I think he's going to bring the young lads in come the start of next season, and it'll all be, you know. It'll all be all right, won't it?
It'll be all right. Yeah. We're all right. Well, thanks for the support, mate. Cheers,
mate.
For that one. But my other one is...
I think that's the main... I'm just going back to that. I just think that's the main thing. I think if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least he's going to fall on his sword. And I think that's... As soon as Ten Hag was like, I can't do it, then it's like, well, why did we bring you in?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And if it doesn't work for Amorim...
Fair enough. But anyway, going back to my other hate of the week, is there's a girl at the moment who's been buying Metallica t-shirts, and she's been buying it because she thinks it's a font of writing. Have you seen that thing that's been going around online at the moment? And she's been basically
buying Metallica. I love Helvetica. I'm going to go and watch them in a few weeks.
she goes, I just love this metallic font. You know,
I've seen that.
I just remember thinking, oh god, just, you know.
Yeah.
I just hope she subs it all. Just that's all I can think of, because that is just anyway. Any hates of the week?
I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's public transport. It took me 3 hours to get to work this morning because someone
So clarify, you're in Eccles and you're trying to get to what, Newton Heath?
No, I was going to Rochdale and it took me 3 hours to get to Rochdale because there was no trains, there were no trams. Someone drove on a train track. It's not good. And then, yeah, I had another one, but I don't think I'm going to say it because I think it might be too controversial.
Okay, we'll save that one for another podcast.
I might say it later.
We'll sell it for that as well. So thanks very much. So, right, okay, we'll leave that there because we've done 15 minutes already. That's gone quick, hasn't it, Christ? But yeah, we'll catch up afterwards. Score prediction quickly before we go.
Every time I think we're going to win, I still think we'll win. 2-1.
I'm going to go for 2-0 United, but that's more
hope than expectation.
Yeah, I'll leave that there. But I hope Rude's not too sad afterwards. I hope they stay up just because it's Rude. But it'd be nice to look at him all night, won't it? Cause,
yeah.
Final question. Who would you rather have up front? Hoyland, Xerxes, or a 48-year-old Rude Van Nistelrooy?
Well, based on the comments from Amarim the other week, I think he'd rather Rude Van Nistelrooy than Rashford. So,
took over there. Anyway, so the answer's Rude.
So basically, I'd go Rude. Yeah,
go for a 48-year-old Rude Van Nistelrooy. And on that note, we'll see ya. Hello, Nick Sellerate back after the 2-1. Miraculous win against Leicester. I was going to meet Nathan for a podcast afterwards, but he decided to leave time after the performance. I can't really blame him, to be honest, because I think a lot of people seem to from where we were in K-Stand. That was something else, wasn't it? That first half was just got to be up there in one of the worst first halves of football I think I've ever seen, ever. And then the second half, well, to be fair, at half-time, I did say to a couple of our lot, to Lee and Phil at half-time, saying, look, we're going to win this game 2-1. And both of them tried to take my beer away from me and be like, look, you've been drinking too much. But I think these games, the thing is with Leicester is they're so bad is that you only need to be mediocre to beat them. And, you know, we weren't even mediocre tonight. That's just how bad that they are as a squad. And yeah, okay, you can talk about our flailings of it, and we all know that, and that all showed up tonight. My biggest concern this evening is if we're going to play three wing backs or full backs or whatever they are at home, you know, you sign a new lad who we all thought was a left back. Well, he started at right wing tonight, which was just a very, very strange thing to me personally. You've got Mazraoui, who's technically a right back, starting at left centre back in a back three, which I thought was really, really bizarre as well. I mean, he's played okay when he's been at right centre back at times this season. Is that team to me was just not how I expected us to line up. I thought Mazraoui would be at right centre back. I thought you could have Yoro and Maguire in there. Dallow probably would have been at right wing back, and you would have had Dorgu, the new lad, at left wing back. But the back five just seemed like it was all over the place, and it just didn't quite work right. Taking off Dorgu at half time, I thought, was a bit strange. I think that doesn't send a great message out to someone you've just signed into a new squad. I think that trying to replace him with Garnacho is a positive move, but I think the right person to take off probably would have been Dallow if you want to try and be more aggressive, because he was just so poor in the first half. And I was making a joke, I'm here with my friend Craig, we'll get to him in a minute, and I kept explaining to him, it's like, I don't think you understand how bad Dallow is. It's like, I'll keep laughing at you and pointing to you how many times he loses the ball in the first half. And I kept looking at you repeatedly, being like, he's genuinely lost the ball again. That's how bad he's been. He's just, and it's not all on him, don't get me wrong. The rest of the squad's poor as well. But he sums up where this United team is at and how people can survive so many managers and still be here. I mean, you know, he's like, how long did you get Dallow? I was like, well, Jose signed him. He went, has he really been here that long? Well, yeah, he's been here that long. It's because people don't want him, because he's not good enough. They can't afford his wages and can't afford the transfer fee United want for him. So you get left with him. And then this is the thing that perpetuates. But let's be positive. Keep it simple. We won. Just about. With a very questionable goal by the looks of things, because I didn't quite see it back. And it looks like it might have potentially been offside in there. And football without VAR is great and all the rest of it. But I'm just here anyway. And I thought I'd get one of our mates on. And one of Nathan and I's best mates is a Blackburn Rovers fan who came tonight. And Shane wasn't going this evening, and as we mentioned on the pre-match pod, it's been very easy to get a ticket tonight. There's been so many free tickets and people have really struggled to give them away. And I was meeting Craig, one of my friends, tonight anyway, before this game got arranged to a Friday. So when the game got moved to a Friday, I was like, look, I'm sorry, I don't want to bail you, but, you know, we're playing Leicester at home. And he was very forgiving, but managed to get him a ticket so we could still see each other and have a couple of pints. A couple in the Pev before, we had a couple in the ground, and now we're in the Bulls Head by Piccadilly afterwards. And I was asking him before about what his take was on Old Trafford, and it's just quite made me laugh, really, about what his experience has been from a Blackburn fan, because you came here in 2007 was the last time that he was here, which was what game, just so people are listening?
The FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea.
And how did that go?
Well,
you got beat, didn't you?
We got beat 2-1 in extra time. Michael Ballack scored the winner.
Michael Ballack, there you go, there's one back.
So if anyone
back
can remember that. And that was the first time the winners were playing in the new Wembley. So you played and Drogba scored the winning goal.
Yeah, yeah. So we could have played you that day, and I'm pretty sure I speak for on behalf of all my United fans that we wish you played Rovers that day. But So bearing in mind that was, what, 2007, sort of April time, I'm guessing.
So you're talking, you know, 15 years ago?
You know, we're talking a long time ago, aren't we, really? Uh-huh. So it's what, 17, 18 years ago, isn't it, really? It's 18 years ago. It'd be 18 years ago in April. So what are your thoughts now on where Old Trafford is now, for example? Like, as a Blackburn fan, how do you look at Old Trafford and think, is it something that's run down? Do you think that this is where you think, I look at other teams like Spurs and Arsenal have got these modern grounds. What do you look at Old Trafford now from what you've seen tonight and think they need a new ground or this is fine the way it is?
Personally, this is only my opinion, but I don't feel like they need a new ground because I feel like history is very important and the memories of what people have been there are extremely important. And, you know, your victories, what you've won, you know, from a Blackburn fan, you know, the Real Madrid game, even though you got beat 4-3 in 2003, or your Roma match in 2008, was it, when you won 7-1?
Seven.
I'm naming, you know, just two matches there, but, like, I think it's always important to keep your history rather than moving. However, I do feel that, as a Blackburn fan, is that we had a new stadium built in the late 90s, well, mid-90s, is that the decor is very much the same. I know it sounds silly, but your flooring was exactly the same. We've got blue, you've got red. It's that little dotted circles around.
Yeah, there's all the embossed circles. Yeah, yeah,
so nothing, even his toilet sand is exactly the same. So nothing changed. And for me, what shocked me as a football fan is that however many years of success you've had and, you know, the time period's gone, your stadium's not changed, in my opinion, to what it should be compared to the other big clubs. Like, I've been to Anfield in 2019, and when they had the redevelopment of their main stand, and
boo, just boo, sorry,
the difference is there, and I shouldn't highlight that, but I feel like it is important to highlight it because People argue that you are the better team with more money.
But with what they've done with their new ground now, as we were talking about when we were there four weeks ago, whatever it was, is the way that they've extended their concourse out at the back is brilliant now. You know, there's so much room in there, it's dead easy to get
because
in there.
Because you've got the fan experience.
And it's like, you know, the fan experience of going to Anfield now is generally a lot better than what it was. I mean, as away fans, we didn't get held in at the away end at the end of the game. I mean, we got held in for half an hour, for example, last week at Bucharest. So to not get held in there was obviously quite historic. You know, usually typically United do. But in terms of that, you know, obviously we were talking about in there, and I mean, we're both nerds, aren't we? Because we met doing a history course at uni, and we're very much into that. But looking forward at all these younger fans now, you think that maybe they probably do want one of these sexy, shiny new stadiums.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for me, we've always said for a long time that I would change Old Trafford. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think once you get in the seat, it's absolutely fine. I mean, the view is good. I mean, Any criticisms tonight? Because that's what people seem to like this day.
What criticisms of the players or the club?
What was criticisms of just the experience of what you've had today? Because, I mean, getting a ticket was a pain in the ass. I mean, you go and sit there and you go watch Blackburn most weeks. There's 15,000 people that go to, what's the capacity you need? What, 35?
32,000.
32. So, you know, you think it's not quite half full every single week. I mean, but it's like you're seeing queues and stuff this time. It's like, what's your overall experience been about the day of getting them out and stuff like that?
I feel like the turnstile experience is more lower league than Premier League.
Wow.
Experience.
Why?
Just in terms of comparing it and contrasting it to, you know, your main rivals of Manchester City and Liverpool, is that the experiences have been more streamlined. and more offerings and more kind of high end offerings, whereas Man United just are selling Carling and to exactly this Carling.
Popping bottles.
It's just stuff like people who want to drink Carling, that's absolutely fine, but there should be another choices.
There isn't another choice. You don't get another choice, man. But it's funny, we've obviously explained the reasons as to why, you know, getting in and stuff like that to the ground on this podcast enough times as to why that is the case. And, you know, getting in is a pain in the backside. I mean, to be fair, I mean, we got inside tonight within 5 minutes, but you look at how it's been throughout the other games. I mean, we were in a little bit easier this evening, but usually, you know, it's not uncommon to be sat there waiting for sort of 15, 20 minutes. But anyway.
I'm missing the game.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite common to miss the first 5 minutes of the game more often than not, especially when you're selling a paper-based product outside. Which, to be fair, we didn't take many mags tonight because we didn't have many left, but we managed to sell the rest of them this evening. So thank you very much for those that stop and supported. We have had a lot of people that have personally come over to me. I'm not sure about Nathan, but a lot of people came over, and you can witness, can't you, today, that said very nice words about the mag and the podcast and love it. So, but we massively appreciate it, and this is obviously why we do all this kind of thing for you lot out there as well. Anything on the football then, just finally quickly wrap up, because we've been on for nearly 10 minutes here. So, but anything on the game that you took away tonight in terms of football, was it what you expected? Were you, you know, atmosphere wise in Old Trafford, you know, anything else like that in terms of, like, well, it wasn't as good as you thought United were going to be, because the last time you went in 2007 we were about to win the European Cup not long after?
You probably discussed it far more times than I have and I ever will do. The fear factor is well and truly gone. From
just
many
fear factors. It's gone, hasn't it?
It's gone. And I feel like, for an away side, I feel like for a second team squad, in a way, Leicester was extremely comfortable on the ball. When you look at the calibre of players between Leicester and Man United, it's not a surprise that you managed to eat through it. However, at the same time, is that this can't keep sustaining, whereas some quality of players will keep you out of jail at the last minute. You know, like Harry Maguire's done so tonight, or Bruno Fernandes.
He's done it a few times, to be fair to him, in his United career. He has bailed us out in the 90th minute. And, you know, he was alright tonight, but I'm sick of watching him play a long ball for most of the game. He kept getting the ball, didn't he, tonight, kept trying to play it back, and you try and give it to Bruno when he kept trying to give it away and things as well. But for us, we're very poor unless we've got Garnacho for me on the field. I think he, at the moment, he's our best attacking threat. His service and stuff is quite poor still, it's inconsistent, but he's young. But I still think that if he's not on the pitch, there's just nothing to watch and nothing to get excited about. I mean, Højlund again was incredibly poor tonight in terms of his touches and giving the ball away. Xerxes showed some great moments when he came on, which is a bit unusual, a bit out of character, but you know, he showed a bit of class to me tonight in terms of that and getting a goal. But there's not really anything that gets you off your seat, is there?
Of course not. But as you as a United fan, are you not concerned about potential rumours that Garnacho?
I'm concerned about a lot of things about this film. I know I am. I think we discussed that last week on the phone. We were talking about main concern that we've got at the moment. It's not just losing Garnacho, but it'd be losing him to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. It's looking like the most likely suit. I know Napoli and stuff have been rumoured, but you know, losing someone like Garnacho to Chelsea and watching him play for them every week, you know, will be tough, and come watching him every single season at Old Trafford. Because he's a great footballer. Yeah, he's inconsistent and people get on his back, but I mean, the guy's what, 21? So he's not going to be a finished article about it. Nobody's expecting him to be. And I know I was digging him out. I dug him out. I don't know if you're listening, but last week on the podcast, I was saying, the thing for me with Garnacho is every time he gets the ball, he crosses it and it's always low down. It's always against someone's shin. And I just think, if you had a better striker maybe in the air, you could argue Højlund and Xerxes aren't always brilliant in the air. Then maybe he might put it in the air a bit more, but he does need to work on his end product. That's not me digging him out, that's just a constructive criticism. He is the player that gets me off my seat more than anybody else in that team, more than Ahmad and more than Bruno. He is the one that I want, and I just think if he's not on the pitch, then there's not really anything that I can hang my hat on. So, but when he came on, you knew when he came on at our time, we were going to look more threatening, we were going to look better. And it was only a matter of time before we got one goal, and before we got one, we were not that far away.
We got
through without fucking extra time. Good God, because that would have been depressing, wouldn't it? Because we'd still be there now. That'd be the worst thing about it.
Maybe Leicester winning on penalties, which would have been a nightmare.
And on that note... any hates of the week? Doesn't have to be football related, but is there anything this week that's just pissed you off where you think, you know what, That's really annoying me, that. Just anything. It can be anything. It's really annoying.
Can you mention politics?
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
The guys are stripped, you know, Trump's edition.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, on that note, we'll end it, eh?
And on that note, and on that bombshell. Look, thanks again, guys, for buying the mag. I know it's been a bit all over the place, really, with the pod this evening. Hopefully we'll get back to normal service, maybe against Ipswich at home, and Barney's back as well, because I'm pretty sure you're sick of hearing about, from me about all this time, because I know he's not been on it for a while. But as he said, that he's really hunkered down over the last few weeks in terms of that, and you know, with the league and stuff. But getting through tonight was obviously massive. Hopefully, I think I speak for all, certainly on this people that are sat around this table, because Blackburn have got Wolves on Sundays, that hopefully we all get Blackburn away in the next round of the FA Cup, because I think we'd all agree we'd all quite like that one. And judging by the way that Craig said the fear factor's gone, Blackburn probably might even fancy their chances in that one as well. But anyway, look, glory glory Man United. I think we've got 9 days off, haven't we, until Spurs next week, and God knows that we need that as well. So hopefully we can get our act together. And but Spurs are very Spursy at the moment, so fingers crossed we can try and get something against that next week. But look, our name's in the hat for the next round. We're always in the FA Cup final anyway, aren't we? Let's be honest. It's just seems to where we have been for the last 2 years, so hopefully we can make that a nice little hat trick. Glory, glory, Man United.